You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I believe this captures an ideal that God loves us so much. An idea that he loves us so much that he's willing to hurt feelings or to interrupt, to intervene, to arrest our movements and to intervene, to change and to shift our lives. We're not talking about just brief moments of God touching our lives. We're talking about when God comes down to redirect what we're doing.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Radical Encounters That Transform Lives. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 4.
The book of Acts, I believe it should be called Acts of the Holy Spirit. It is Acts of the Apostles, but the apostles were able to do what they did because the Holy Spirit was working through them. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Forgive me of the mistake. The date is the 22nd, not the 15th. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. We're looking at the New King James Version of the Bible. Thank you, Vince, for working with me here. The Bible says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues, to the churches of that day in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them into custody or as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" I want to draw your attention to verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you doing this to me? Why you persecute me? I'm teaching a sermon, a series called Divine Encounters. And today's message is entitled Radical Encounters That Transform Lives. I believe God wants me to indicate and to share with you, expect a radical encounter from God so powerful that you won't be able to go in the direction that you're going in. He's about to shift your direction. You got a mindset you're going to do what you do. Well, God says, I'm about to interrupt that. And you're going to experience transformation like never before. Father, I give you praise and thanks for this opportunity to share with your people again and again and again. And I'm grateful for the years as we approach 31. I'm grateful for the years, the 365, 31 times, though at least four Sundays, twice a Sunday, for almost 30 years, three times a week, 152 times a year, Father, preaching and teaching in this sanctuary and around this county, the Word of God and beyond. I want to thank you for the lives that have been touched. I pray now that you would allow the seed of the word to go deep into the hearts of your people. I want to thank you for radical change, radical encounters that will produce radical, noticeable change. And Father, I give you glory and praise for the love. You love us so much that even when your people are going in the wrong direction, you have a way of blocking the road and changing our direction. Help me to teach with accuracy. And help your people to not be dull when it comes to hearing, receiving, and then putting into practice the word. So go before this word and prepare us with an ear to hear, a mind to comprehend, a heart to receive, and a spirit to contain your word. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't back up. Let's do our confession of faith. Amen. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. Come on. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word. Contrary to the written or the spoken word of God, I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God. My mind is renewed. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Your confession of faith. Are you excited about it? Well, everything in the kingdom is voice activated, and this is why many of us are defeated by the enemy, because when it comes to God, we seem to get very shy with confession. We're not shy when we cuss. We're not shy when we confront stuff. We're not shy when we got to get it off of our chest. But when it comes to the things of God, all of a sudden we get real shy. In this ministry, I'd like to see that flip. Say what you want to say about me. I really don't give a flying flip about all of that. I got a job to do, and there's such a gridlock between God and us that we got to break through the barriers. And that's why a lot of times I elevate, because I can tell there are people who will walk out of this sermon, walk out of this ministry, go and park themselves, won't come into the sanctuary, but want to criticize what's going on up in you. But you're not sitting up under the word. I don't expect for you to have the spirit of truth revealed if you don't sit up under the word. It doesn't matter what you do in ministry. You got to sit up under the word, and you got to digest it. And if you really worship and sit under the word, I won't have to push hard. The Holy Spirit can put his finger on your heart and it will shift you. I won't have to push hard. Say, come on, get it. I won't have to bruise, as it were. I can brand. The hotter the iron, the less pressure you have to put on a person to get the emblem. But if the iron isn't hot, we got to press and press and press so you can get it. When all we got to do is get a hot iron and just make sure we... A little painful, but afterwards you can take off and run. When you're distant from the word, when you won't obey the word, when there's agitation in the atmosphere and you allow it to run through your members, it's hard then to get the brand of the message. The emblem that God is trying to place on your heart. Place thine own emblem deep in my heart. And God didn't want us bruised or bleeding under the skin. He wants us to get his emblem without the bruising or bleeding on the skin. He wants you to get the brand. It's going to singe just for a moment, and then you'll be free to continue to move forward. I read to you out of Acts chapter 9, very powerful. I preached it before, Saul's conversion. Formerly Saul, name translated, changed by God to Paul the Apostle. And here you see a man, if you read about him, that is very educated, but he's mean as a snake. Josephus says he was short in stature. He had a Napoleon mentality. That's kind of short in stature, but he wanted to be in charge of everything. And he was very smart. He could speak at least seven languages. He was a Roman citizen, so he carried that as well. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, which was a major theologian and instructor in that time, and he was taught by the man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, according to Philippians chapter 3, when he talks about that we need to forget the things which are behind, but reaching forth to the things which are before. He says, I am a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I've gone through this, that, and the other as it relates to training. But I count it all dung or loss for the excellency of Christ, the exceeding power of God that's at work in my life. So when he had this conversion, he stepped out of the educational realm. He stepped out of the Pharisaic realm, that's high pious type mentality when it comes to church, looking down on everybody else because of his intellect. God humbled this man and sent him to Arabia for about 14 years, and he shook him until he shook all of the demons out of him, and then he put his word in him and gave him a revelation. So I love the Apostle Paul. He is the chief writer in the New Testament with many epistles. The number one writer in the New Testament above all of the disciples that followed Jesus. And if you want to learn something about God, you got to know something about Paul's epistles. His epistles are powerful. He writes to the church of Corinth. He writes to Ephesus, which is really a powerful book. He writes to the Romans in Rome. He writes to Timothy, his son, to Titus. He also writes to the Thessalonians at Thessalonica. Luke records his rise in Acts, glory to God, and he's recording the rise of Paul here. He starts in chapter 9, the rise of Paul, even, glory to God, until he stands before Caesar. And here you see his conversion. It says Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. So he wasn't just quiet. He was sending letters and he was running his mouth and he could speak in multiple languages. He was very educated, breathing threats against the people of God, male or female. If I catch you in the synagogues talking about Jesus, I'm going to drag you out and take you to the prison in Jerusalem. This is serious. And he had a whole entourage with him that was almost like ICE. Because y'all sleep. Let me just break it down to where the ghost can get it. Almost like ICE. People afraid to show their identity card or show up to the job because somebody's going to drag you out and we're going to get you up out of here. This is the kind of guy that you see that's happening in Minneapolis, the stuff that you saw a few weeks ago in Minneapolis where ICE just dragging people out. Woman gets shot. Man gets killed. This is what he was doing to church folk. He didn't care if it was male or female. If you talk about Jesus, I'm after you. And the Bible is clear. The Bible says he came against the Lord's disciples. I like the way Luke wrote that. He came against the Lord's people. You better leave God's people alone. All of you that are plotting to mess up God's people, you won't release them. You always got something to say about God's people. Hallelujah. Leave God's people alone. Even the least of these. It's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and you be cast into the midst of the sea than to offend one of the little ones. He went to the high priest, the Bible says, and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. So this man was going all the way to Damascus. Look at an old map of, let's say, the Middle East. We gave it that term. I'm going to say, man, Africa. I believe the Middle East is a part of Africa originally. And if you look at any world map, man, it shows Africa like real small. But if you really saw how it is in the earth, it's huge. They bring it down because if you start saying, man, look at that piece of land right there, and you really knew how large Africa is, right? And the natural resources that's funding all of these governments around the world that's being extracted out of Africa. Every diamond that we wear, is most of them come out of Africa. Most of the oil that we need comes out of Africa. The natural resources, the bill, phones, cars, and everything that we enjoy, all of that comes out. Yet the African can't trade with each other. Europe goes down in there, pulls it all out. Then they got this, they got to buy it back from Belgium, buy it back from Europe. They can't even build their own stuff because of the laws, the rules, and the regulations that have been in, that have been inflicted on that land to pull out the natural resource, and they still haven't gotten it all. Tons and tons and billions and trillions of dollars of natural resources being extracted out. And if you start looking at where Damascus is compared to where Jerusalem is, this man was dragging people from everywhere, making them walk back to Jerusalem. There was no Uber during that time. There was no transport. He didn't care if you were male or female. Let me tell you something. And as the church was being persecuted, they still grew. If we get a little persecution, we don't want to come to church no more. I'm tired. I don't like the way they said that to me. But we've really never tasted desperate in the house of the Lord. And while the church is being persecuted like this, and you got letters and all kinds of stuff coming against them if they go to church, people still packed out in the church. Right now, we got the easiest thing. We just got to get up, wipe our eyes, and drink a little coffee, get a little donut, and then we on our way to church. But we still don't like what's going on because I don't feel good. We got to get ourselves together and get back to getting everything we need done so we can get in the house of the Lord on time. The Bible says that he went to synagogues in Damascus so that he, if he found any who were belong, I like what Luke says, to the way. That's capitalized. What way? There's only one way. And Jesus identified that way in John chapter 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Ain't many ways to God. There's one way. I know you want to get smart and you're listening to these reels and everybody talking about their many ways. There's only one way. That one way to God is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can somebody just whisper that name, Jesus? Can you just say the name of Jesus so he can show up in your life? There's only one way. Why is it hard to accept that? Jesus said it himself, there's only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God but by me. Luke is a physician, and he writes it, if you belong to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus with his messed up mind and his bad intentions, on his journey, suddenly God interrupted his plans. And here's where our message picks up. Radical encounters that transforms lives. There's a two-part to this, and I'll finish it in our late service. I believe this captures an ideal that God loves us so much. An idea that he loves us so much that he's willing to hurt feelings or to interrupt, to intervene, to arrest our movements and to intervene, to change and to shift our lives. We're not talking about just brief moments of God touching our lives. We're talking about where God comes down to redirect what we're doing. He loved Paul so much, even though he was hurting his people and he had a purpose for his life, he interrupted his plans. The next time there's a halt, and let me just say, just because things are working well don't mean God is pleased. I think it was, what's that man name, that prophet that said, God is the only one can have you working and he fired you. He'll let you still work. And he said, you don't work for me. I never knew you. Well, Lord, I did this in your name and I did that. And you don't understand. I believe God loves us so much. Before we get there, he will interrupt our plans. Just totally rearrange things. Intervenes. Divine interventions. Hallelujah. not just brief moments, but he abides. After this light shined in Paul's life, he didn't just let the light shine for a moment. It continued to shine until he died. Write it down. I believe God is about to engage in turning points. I would say radical turning points. He's about to implement radical turning points that shift everything in your life. I think we need to take notice right now. God is so serious and the time is so dark that he's not waiting on us to change. He's about to interrupt. This is the message that I'm preaching here, divine encounters. And radical turning points or shifts, radical shifts are about to take place. Write it down. We're experiencing major shifts around the world. People are really casual right now about their faith, but we're experiencing major shifts around the world. In the next 10 years, almost every leader that you see in charge is not going to be in charge. Somebody else is going to be in charge. You just saw that the supreme leader in Iran was killed. His wife was killed. And his son is injured. This is what they're saying. But his wife was killed. And so just in a couple of months, you see a shift and change in Iran with this radical leadership. These are the kind of people that if you strike them, they start blowing up their neighbors. The neighbor that had nothing to do with it. Trump did it. So why are you attacking people that's next door to you? Just major chaos. That's like if I slap you, you're going to attack your neighbor instead of slapping me back. Why would you go to your neighbor's house and turn their house on fire? This is the kind of people we're dealing with. They just shot maybe 30,000 of their own people for protesting with machine guns. While we're relaxed right now talking about who across the church we don't like, this is what's happening in the streets of Iran. And they got a new supreme leader that has the capability of establishing or launching $10,000, $20,000 drones that can fly to a different nation. But we have to get those drones, we got to spend $500,000 to defend it or to bring them down. $20,000 attack drone, but you got to spend $500,000 to stop it for each one. And Russia is helping to fund them. They're attacking Ukraine, and our president is casual with Russia. I'm going somewhere with this. Talking about change around the world while we reclining, right? You got to watch what's happening around the world because sooner or later, it's going to come directly to your doorstep. Now, when it comes to our doorstep, everybody going to have a problem with little gas prices. Around $4 a gallon. I went to Haiti in 1998, and it was $6.50 a gallon in Haiti. The poorest nation in this hemisphere was paying $6.50 a gallon. But in America, man, when anything goes up a little bit, we choking. But let the ganja go. Oh, I know. That's my weakness, Bishop. Oh, no. Oh, my. Oh, but listen to me. There's some radical change that need to take place in our lives right now. I'm going to bring it down where the ghost can get it. We got too many comforts and we think we can say, God, I'm okay with doing this, even though you don't want me to do it. As long as I'm all right and everything is okay, I can do what I want to do. God says, no, I'm about to redirect your path. Clark, I'm about to interrupt your path. Oh, my God, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. I know, God, I know. Because I can preach to myself, Clark is about to get a divine interruption. we talk about a shift, I really believe now major shifts are going on around the world. So we're looking at one country. And 10 years from now, most leaders around the world will not be there. Will they be wise leaders? Will they be savages? If you read the history, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, and look at the history of Israel's kings, most of them were bad kings. So all of you all that got a problem, Israel is always good. It doesn't mean that they got good leadership. If you read the Bible, you'll see it. Every nation has to worry about its leadership. Well, God put him there. Well, you chose your king. You chose. God says, I didn't choose Saul. You did. You did. Yeah. Well, I know God. He allows things to happen in his perfect will, but he also has a permissive will. And when you do what you want, and I'm going to do whatever I want, God will allow it to happen for a season. But I'm telling you how God works. When prosperity comes, we become complacent. Complacency leads into sin. Sin, when it's finished, will lead into bondage. Bondage will make you cry out to God. When you cry to God, he'll send a deliverer. When he sends a deliverer, you'll experience prosperity. Then you become complacent. Complacence leads back into bondage. Sin leads into bondage. Bondage makes us cry to God. And when we cry to God, he sends another deliverer. As soon as we get delivered, now we go back into bondage. And that cycle continues.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Radical Encounters That Transform Lives, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Easter Sunday is almost here, and we are excited to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus with you. Join us at the TR Palm Bay campus on Sunday, April 5th, for a powerful 6 a.m. service as we rejoice in our risen King. Then at 9:30 a.m., the children from the Ministry of Education will present The Passion, a special presentation you will not want to miss. Join Truth Reveal North as they support the community of Titusville with a community giveaway on Saturday, April 11th, 2026, from 10 to 1 p.m. Email trnorth@truthreveal.org for more details.
New members' classes are in session. Email connect@truthreveal.org to begin your orientation journey.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches, FM 94.7.
I can't believe I acted like that again. What kind of Christian am I? I've got to do better.
It's easy to think we can fight persistent sin all on our own. The problem with that is it's easy to beat ourselves up and fall into a rut of shame and guilt. Billy Graham knew the only way to really fight sin is to ask God for help.
You submit yourself to God and say, Lord, you take charge of my life as Lord and Master. None of us can live the Christian life alone. We just can't do it. It's the Holy Spirit that he gives you to live in you and through you. And when Satan comes with his temptation, you quote a verse of scripture. That's one thing he can't stand. It's the sword of the Spirit. Then when you resist the devil, you have the promise that he'll flee from you and you can overcome him.
Find out more at findpeacewithgod.net. Then click on Grow in Your Christian Faith. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.